This is the Good Neighbor Podcast, the place where local businesses and neighbors come together. Here's your host, Mike Sedita.
Hello out there. Welcome to episode 133 of the Good Neighbor Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Sedita, and I am joined today by Spiros Vasilakos of Athenia Private Client Group. Spiros and I had met previously. We talked about the podcast, and I wanted to bring him on to talk a little bit about his business. Spiros, how are you doing today?
Very good, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. I'm so glad you were able to get on here. I know you travel quite a bit back and forth to the Northeast, and you're always here moving and shaking. So let me tell you a little bit about what the Good Neighbor Podcast is, and then we'll kind of get into what we're going to talk about here today. So in case you're not aware, the Good Neighbor Podcast was started in 2020 as a way for business owners like you to talk to the community while still being socially distant. And over the past now 4 years, it has evolved into a national brand. We have podcasts in Denver, Virginia, Atlanta, and I'm lucky enough to be the person here in Tampa that does it with business owners like you. So with that being said, first and foremost, tell us a little bit about Athenia Private Client Group.
Yeah, here at Athenia Private Client Group, we work with individuals that are looking for financial planning and also wealth management services. We've been in the business for 22 years. We started our business, obviously, in the Northeast in New Jersey. Lived there for 16 years and decided to move my practice down here 8 years ago. So we're specifically working with our residents here in Florida, and we're growing, and hopefully we can make a big impact in the Pasco County area as well.
So I know you and I have spoken about this. Your office is in Pinellas County?
Yeah, I'm in Pinellas County. I'm in Tarpon Springs, but we're literally about a mile in away from Pasco County, Trinity, all the way going up to the 54 corridor. Yep. So we do represent and work with a lot of those individuals there as well.
So the great thing about the podcast is, even though it's the Good Neighbor Podcast Pasco, mainly because I'm based in Pasco. So, you know, once the podcast is live, I mean, your clients in New Jersey can hear it. Your clients here can hear it regardless of Pinellas, Pasco, or Hillsborough County. The name just kind of is more for my geography other than where the podcast is going to go. I, like you too, am a transplant from the Northeast. So tell us a little bit about your background. How did you get into this? When you were a kid on the playground up north, were you collecting people's lunch money and generating wealth management, or was this always your plan?
No, it wasn't always my plan, but I did like money. So growing up, I did sell newspapers, and my dad had a restaurant and started working in the restaurant business since I was 8 years old. Decided it wasn't for me, and went to college, was planning to go to law school. Once I was out of college, I worked as a paralegal at one of the largest corporate law firms in New York. Loved the finance side, did a lot of M&A work, but didn't like the law. So decided to take my hand and go to Wall Street and work for a little boutique firm and get my licenses there. And then said, hey, you know what? I like working with banks, and became an advisor in a couple of large banks. Last stunt was with J.P. Morgan. Left J.P. Morgan in 2007, started my own practice, felt that, the corporate world wasn't for me. And I think I could have helped my clients better if I started my own business. Did that in 07. And as everyone knows, we had the financial crisis.
I was going to say that was pretty good timing getting out of J.P. Morgan.
Yeah, it was. But it was, you know, starting your own business was very, very tough during that time.
Yep.
But the way I grew my practice was there were a lot of upset people there and wanted to work with more of a boutique small firm that really cared for them and looked out for their best interest, and was able to grow my practice actually a lot during that time. So, yeah, that's what brought me into the business. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a touchy subject, right? The biggest taboo. I worked for a lady when I worked in finance 100 years ago, and she said, money is the oldest taboo on the planet. People will tell you about their sex life. They'll tell you what drugs and alcohol they drink. They'll tell you their infidelity. They'll tell you everything. But when it comes to money, everybody's super protective. It's the oldest taboo. And the law is the law, but yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's not as exciting unless you're doing some trial law with a murderer or something like that. Then maybe that's exciting, but the law itself is just kind of mundane. It's like reading and going through a lot of case law stuff, case log stuff, where this is, you know, you're getting to meet with people and do all the stuff you want to do to help them and have like a stake in the game a little bit, right? You're actually getting to see people's lives change and grow doing this as opposed to being behind some desk doing legal work.
Yeah. And, you know, you do get to see a lot of people that, you know, really the way we approach it is we always ask them, you know, what is their why? You know, what do they think about money and why do they, you know, want to work with us? And, you know, what is it that they want to do with their, you know, with their money? What's their ultimate goal? So, you know, the industry has there is a misconception with the industry because, you know, a lot of people that we do meet for the first time had, you know, some bad experiences with, you know, previous financial advisors or financial planners. And so when they come in, they're a little nervous. But, you know, what makes us different than everyone else is we really look at the behavioral finance side of it. And it's more of, you know, what do you think about money? And, you know, when we work with couples, we look at, you know, each one of them differently. And what it does, it brings them together because obviously couples think about money a lot differently. And so when they start seeing how they think about money differently, they start coming together and it's a beautiful thing to see. And it's new in the industry and not a lot of advisors are doing it, but we've been doing it for the last 2 years and, they love it.
So one of the things, it was a couple of things you said there I wanted to kind of touch on. I guess one of the things people kind of come into it, they think about the old school, like stockbroker, that there's a ton of fees and they disappear and, you know, they see the Wolf of Wall Street and see how it was back in the 80s or Wall Street and see how it was in the 80s and have that like that bad depiction of a stockbroker or a trader or that type of person. So I would think that would be one of the things when you're saying they come into it like a negative connotation. But what is behavioral finance? You threw that term in there. I want to understand that a little bit deeper.
Yeah. So just like, you know, if anyone goes, goes to a therapy session, it's more about, you know, in a therapy session, they're talking about your past life and things that might have happened to you that might trigger things that are going on today. So, you know, again, I'm very big in mental illness. So when we talk to individuals and, they start talking about their finances, believe it or not, we go all the way back to what they think about finance. And there are certain biases that, you know, people have. One of the biggest one that we see is, you know, loss aversion, which, you know, basically, you know, something might have happened in the past where they lost money or they had a bad experience. And so, you know, coming into it today, they look at it. And so those loss aversion biases cause them to make decisions or not make decisions that can cause them to, you know, not take advantage of certain things and grow their money. So,
right.
You know, we try to bring those in and we try to help them through that. And at the end of the day, again, the misconception, Wolf of Wall Street, you know, we're going to charge you fees. We're going to charge you commission. We're a fee-based advisor. We're a fiduciary. And that the most important thing to understand with that is we're out for your best interest. And right. that's what it really comes out to.
So I'm assuming when someone comes in, you're the arrangement you're setting up is some sort of fiduciary agreement between you and them. So you're basically putting on paper, hey, look, I'm looking out for your best interest as opposed to, hey, I'm just taking your money to do a trade type of thing.
That's right. That's right. We've seen where people come in and said, hey, I sat down with an advisor. They didn't ask me any questions. The first thing they did was just throw a product in front of me. Well, you know, that's really not the right way. I tell people yeah. when that happens, you got to get up and leave. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the biggest things I ran into, because when I was doing this, you know, years ago, there was a big movement for asset allocation, annuities, funds, ETFs, and all these, these different types of investment vehicles that were basically, I don't want to say dummy proof, but like, hey, if you're in your 20s, you want this investment mix to be 80-20, you know, versus growth versus income. And as you age, they automatically blend. And then as you get older, they kind of blend out into more safe investment income type stuff. So they were kind of trying to make that all dummy proof. But again, all that stuff is also fee based and things like that, the industry changes. So, I mean, I know people say money is money and it's been like this forever and ever and ever. There's all sorts of new things that people can get into and do. And we ran into that a lot where people are not doing an investor profile to figure out really what this person's goal is. And that leads me to my one other question that you had brought up is people's why. So what kind of answers do you get? I mean, is it like my grandkids, my freedom? Like, what is the generic? Do you see a garden variety same thing over and over again?
Yeah, the most we see is freedom and flexibility. That's their why. And then we go into even deeper. So if it's freedom, you know, what does freedom mean to you? And the big one is time, right? So what they want is time to spend with their family, time to, you know, maybe take a vacation, time to maybe spend more time with an elder parent.
Right.
So what we do is we give them time. Right. And what I do tell them is, look, you're the CEO of your portfolio. We're the CFO. Right. We give you all the recommendations. We give you all the proposals we put together for you. You make the ultimate decision.
That's up to you. Yeah.
The day is, if you're looking for a recommendation for us, the reason why we're making this recommendation is because what you told us is that you want to have more time, and this will help you give you more time.
Right. That's great. That's definitely great. I mean, that's the one thing. And that's what I was thinking. That's what I was getting at when I brought that question up, because the one commodity on planet Earth that we don't have in abundance is time. I mean, until the actual multiverse from Marvel actually happens, you know, time is the one commodity that every second it runs off, you never get it back. So setting yourself up to be able to embrace that and use it and make the most of it, vitally important, I would think. So usually I ask about a myth or a misconception, but you kind of already touched on that. When you are not here, you know, into the numbers and working with clients and doing what you do, what do you like to do for fun?
Well, I play a lot of golf. Obviously, the state of Florida provides a generous opportunity to do that. fishing, that's another thing I like doing. But, you know, really most importantly, I spend a lot of time with my family. I got a 20-year-old son who's in college right now who's studying to be a vet. I got an 8-year-old daughter who's in second grade. So that keeps me going.
Wow, man. Wow. Yeah. That's a big gap right there.
Yeah. You know, my wife and I, you know, we worked a lot, and, you know, she decided that she wanted to have another kid after 13 years. And, you know, I thought I was out of it, but, you know, I
good
can't,
for you.
I would never take it back. My daughter is exactly like me. And so she keeps me going.
And then, so where is your son in school down here? Is he in school up there?
He's in, he goes to FAU and he's in Boca Raton. And again, he's in their pre-med program and he's starting to be a vet. He's a vet tech now, but he's doing great. And I can't wait to see him, you know, do what he loves to do.
It's funny. One of my best friends growing up in Jersey, his son is in his second semester at FAU right now. He loves it down there. I mean, you know, when I used to post pictures of Florida, my buddy would be like, Florida, blah, blah, blah. Now his kid's in school in Florida. And he's like, Florida. I got palm tree pictures on his Facebook feed. He loves it. So, yes. And everybody, you know, everybody talks about FAU, says it's fantastic. So that's great. And then what's your daughter into? She's 8. Is she, she's like you, but does she play golf? Do you take her out on the course with you? What is she into?
She does Kwai Tan Do. She loves it. She's been doing it for 2 years. But she actually loves to draw. You know, she does a lot of paintings, and you know, she's like, Daddy, you think I can make money doing influencing on YouTube? I said, yes, you can, but I wouldn't make it a career. I said, it's good to have fun doing it, but she's teaching me a couple of things on YouTube too. So
that's neat. That's very good. Yeah. We don't want to go down that road yet. How about we get a college degree in something, and then if you want to be an Instagram or a YouTube sensation, you can go from there. But I'll tell you, there's people making a killing doing it. You get that following, she can get – listen, my girlfriend's daughter is 11. She's got me hooked on this stupid YouTube. I say it's stupid, but she got me hooked on it, where it's a girl just opening outfits and trying them on, and she has sponsors. And all. It's a different world. It's just a different world, man.
You're in the wrong business, huh?
Absolutely. So – let me ask you this. I mean, in your industry, there have been some serious, you know, times of hardship or challenges. In your particular career, where has there been a challenge that you've been like, I don't know if I'm going to overcome this? Is it starting a new firm in the middle of, you know, in the middle of the closest thing to the Great Depression we've had? Or is there something else that you've had to overcome to be the successful guy you are right now?
Well, listen, you know, obviously, when I started in the business, you know, 9/11, you know, hit, you know, 2001, we had that. You know, unfortunately, I was in New York at that time and I was working in New York. And so that was one. And then obviously, you know, the financial meltdown in 2008. And then even 2020, March of 2020, when we had the pandemic, right?
Yeah. COVID,
those were difficult times. But, you know what I really find and, you know, what I really preach with my clients as well is, you know, we can overcome it as long as you have time. If you have time and you're patient, we can overcome a lot of those things and a lot of those challenges. But, you know, again, at the end of the day, you know, I tell people control what you can control and what you can't control. You know, just leave it in God's hands because, you know, at the end of the day, you can't spend your time thinking about, you know, what could I have done or what could I have avoided.
That'll drive you crazy if you try doing that.
That's correct. So, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, challenges are challenges, but, you know, just take them one day at a time and, you know, leave the past in the past and let's keep moving forward.
I think the hardest part is something like, you know, and this isn't in this particular situation, I'm thinking like from a perspective of a financial hardship situation where someone runs into it is someone like the Bernie Madoff thing, where there's people that are in their 60s and 70s were planning. And I'm not talking about like the Wilpons and all the people with all like Kevin Bacon and all these people with millions of dollars who are rich Hollywood actors. I'm talking about the people where we're blinded by the greed a little bit, didn't want to, you know, it was too good to be true. It usually is too good to be true. But they invested their money and now they're in their 70s and they got to go work at Burger King because they can't afford to live anymore because they're out of time. There is no time to replenish what was literally ripped out from under them. But that's got to be like that's got to be earth shattering to have that situation. But again, it's that greed. The funny thing is this. We just talk about your daughter like doing YouTube, right? Like the mentality in this whole, I don't want to say generation because I don't want to sound like the get off my lawn old man guy, but everything is fast. Everything is 13-second videos on TikTok. Everything is quick. I want it now. It's an instant gratification. That's the way the world is it's just the way it functions at this point. Investing isn't that thing. You know, it isn't that, you know, you're not going to have a GameStop situation happen, you know, once in a lifetime type of thing. It's consistency. It's the importance of seeing the long game involved in what you're doing with investing. And that's got to be probably one of the bigger things you have to educate people on a lot of the time, no?
Yeah, we do. You know, Generation Z, we work with a lot of them, you know, and that's, you know, between the ages of 20 and 38. So, you know, they're either coming into the industry or starting to work, you know, into the workforce. And, you know, a lot of them are digitally savvy. So a lot of them don't want to just sit down and do a plan or anything. They just want to have the instant gratification. Just, you know, tell me what I need to do. How much do I need to save? And, you know, how far, you know, how much do I need to save when I retire? How much do I need to have? Right. So, and believe it or not, we're seeing a lot of them saving a lot of money. Those who are good in the workforce now, you know, Gen Z, you know, my son, you know, he's in that Gen Z, you know, generation. You know, he calls them the zombie generation. Right. So, you know, you see a lot of them out there that aren't really
on their phone.
On their phone and just, you know, doing a lot of the things that are, you know, that they most likely shouldn't be doing or waste their time doing. But the ones that are doing it the right way, you know, like I'll give an example. My son, he works and, you know, I told him, I said, let's open up a Roth IRA for you. You know, you qualify for that. He started doing that 2 years now. And, you know, he's investing, you know, he tells me where he wants his money to be invested.
That's good.
So, you know, we help him through that. And that, you know, that's how hopefully can overcome that. You know, making sure Gen Z people, you know, individuals are doing the right thing and have money for the future.
So let me ask you this, you know, people listening to this, you know, what's the one thing they need to take away from your firm, from you personally, that you need to have resonate with them where they're going to say, look, when I'm ready to get the nest egg started or even transition from my 401k to an annuity or whatever the path that's right for them, if they're kind of getting in that mindset, what's the one thing you want them to know about you and your firm?
I will tell you, the first thing I tell them is, you know, do your due diligence. You know, just don't meet with us. Meet with a few advisors. I like to be the last one that they would meet because obviously they're coming in with, you know, all this preconceived information. And then when they meet with us and we show them our process of, you know, we do a discovery meeting first. And in that discovery meeting, we want to know who you are as an individual. And then we go right. The next step, you know, would be the next meeting. That would be more of a strategy session for them. And this is where we're able to show them what we can do for them and why we're making certain recommendations. But really, at the end of the day, you really want to work with an advisor that cares about you. It's all about the value that you're getting. So if you're going to pay that fee, and, you know, you shouldn't really look at the fee as long as you're getting value. If there's added value, okay, then that fee shouldn't really matter. But if you're going to start thinking about the fee coming into it and not really focus on the value proposition that you're getting, then, you know, it wouldn't be the right fit for us, right? You know, and we're interviewing you just like you're interviewing us. So, you know, do your due diligence, you know, before you meet with an advisor, have the right questions. And once you meet us, you know, we're pretty much going to know where you're coming from and, you know, how we can help you.
And then if I need to contact you, what's the best way? Phone number, email, website. How do I get a hold of you to get the ball rolling?
Yeah. So, you know, you can go on our website at www.athenianprivateclientgroup.com. You can reach us on 727-754-8418. Or you can actually get on my podcast, which is the Audible Advisor. If you want to listen to, you know, some of our, you know, topics that we go over. In addition to that, we do educational workshops every 4 weeks here at the Newport Richey Recreational Center. And, you know, just send us your contact information and we'd be more than happy to invite you to one of our workshops.
And I'm assuming all of that stuff, the workshops, the podcast info, all that stuff is listed somewhere on your website?
Absolutely. All on our website. And, you know, if you have any questions, you can also call us.
So we're going to put the URL and all that stuff in the post when we post this video, when we put it on YouTube or when we put it on the website. It's Athenian Private Client Group. It's A-T-H-E-N-I-A-N, privateclientgroup.com. Spiros, thank you so much for being on with us and talking a little bit about what you have going on. If you want to get a hold of Spiros directly, 724-8418. Spiros, thank you for being a good neighbor. Thank you for being on the Good Neighbor Podcast. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Mike.
Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Good Neighbor Podcast. Passco. To nominate your favorite local businesses to be featured on the show, go to gnppassco.com. That's gnppassco.com or call 813-922-3610.